From the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Again, can anyone enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows here, or blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet to my path. The day had been long. It began with prayer and praise for the Lord's blessings. Lunch was normal, but it left a sour taste in his stomach. The afternoon was not pleasant, filled with complaints and disagreements and arguments. And as he sat there listening, he couldn't help but shake his head and ask himself, "Is this really what I got into ministry for?" Endless meetings, constant complaints. It was like he was banging his head against a wall. He looked up and prayed, "Lord, is this really what ministry is all about?" And instantly, a thought came to his mind, and from that moment on, the day's work couldn't end soon enough. Finally, after the sun had set, after the last farmer had come in from the distant fields, as the temple guards began their evening patrols and members of the Sanhedrin had set aside their last legal concern and blew out the candles, Nicodemus left the temple. Before he stepped into the streets of Jerusalem, he quickly looked left and then right and disappeared into the night. As a blast of cold night air hit him, he pulled his cloak tighter around him. To anyone passing by, this old robed man may have looked like just a doctor on his way to visit a patient or a scribe heading home after a long session of transcribing scripture. The night has a way of disguising a person and their motives. Nicodemus was one of 6,000 Pharisees of the religious elite. He was one of 70 who comprised the Sanhedrin, who with Rome presided over and shared in the ruling of Jerusalem. He was known as an experienced teacher and a man of wisdom and wealth. But this night he walked the dark streets with his hood hiding his face. Earlier in the day, as he struggled with his work, it was Jesus' name that flooded his thoughts, and he knew where he was. As he neared the place Jesus was staying, his heart was beating like a small bird caught in a snare. Why was he so nervous about meeting this Jesus? Was it because he was bold and yet full of grace? Or was it because he spoke with authority? Nicodemus heard two men approaching and dashed into the alley. When they had passed, he walked a little quicker. Still questioning himself, he wondered if it was because Jesus challenged the law, but not like those who were filled with hate. Or was it his eyes? Eyes that seemed to make evil flee and the obedient even more devoted. Or what about those he healed? Nicodemus had seen the lame walking, the blind seeing, the demon-possessed free. And he was there when Jesus rebuked the money changers and chased them from the temple. There Jesus stood in the temple entrance with his whip by his side and the sun outlining his figure like a god. What gave him such command and authority? Nicodemus, his hand shaking, knocked at the door. And when the door opened, there stood the strong-armed yet gentle Nazarene. His eyes once again those eyes that once flashed with lightning were now soft and inviting. Jesus welcomed him in, showed him to a seat, and offered him a glass of wine, and then sat next to him, but said nothing. Nicodemus, not knowing what to say, began, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous things you are doing without God being present in him." Jesus, seemingly seeing beyond Nicodemus' statement and into the question deep in his heart, answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Nicodemus had been confused before, but now he felt as if he had been checkmated in one move. He said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born." Nicodemus was old and on this night tired, and he didn't catch Jesus' play on the words that meant again, being born again, and being born from above. But it was more than that. Nicodemus wasn't just physically old and tired, but he was spiritually old and tired as well. Over the years of endless meetings and disputes over power and land, he'd lost some of that love for the people. His wealth grew, but his compassion for the poor and needy faded. Perhaps he even drifted a bit from God. Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised that I said you must be born again from above." Jesus paused, and Nicodemus was left reeling. The first time Jesus said, "You would not see the kingdom unless you were born again." But this time he said, "You would not enter the kingdom unless you were born from above." He sat there feeling numb. Who can be saved then? Can I be saved? Just then, a gust of wind rattled the doors and windows and startled Nicodemus. Jesus said, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it came from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Nicodemus sat silent, knowing that something was dead within him. But how? How could God breathe life into him? His life was almost over. What wind could God blow to bring joy and love into him at this point? He felt hopeless. All living things experience birth and growth and aging and death, but never in reverse order. Yes, God's Spirit had done miraculous things, but never had God's Spirit taken a wrinkly, white-haired old man and turned him into a dark-haired youth. Nicodemus, bewildered, asked, "How can this be?" And Jesus said, "You are one of Israel's teachers, yes? And yet you don't understand these things?" Nicodemus closed his eyes and just put his head in his hands. Jesus continued to speak, but he only heard pieces as he searched his mind for answers, unrolling every scroll he had ever read. He had spent his life studying and teaching the Scriptures. Had he misunderstood something important, something critical at the center of God's law? Or had he missed a crucial revelation? His mind recalled Israel's history of God loving God's loving offer and to be their God, and Israel refusing and their mistakes. God's gracious mercy and forgiveness and Israel's failures. And what of his own life? An attempt to follow the law to the T. Was this really what God wanted? Was the law the way to the kingdom? And then he heard Jesus say, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Nicodemus sat bewildered at what he had just heard. Could it be that salvation is by faith in the Son of God and not obedience to the law, as he had his whole life lived and taught? Nicodemus left the place where Jesus was staying. He had arrived that night in darkness, and he was leaving in darkness. However, the night did not seem as dark, as ahead of him was a soft light, like the dawning of a new morning that gave birth to a new day, a new reality, a new life. Sleep avoided him that night. Nicodemus was wide awake, more awake than he had been in years. His mind swirled as he mulled around the idea of rebirth. You must be born of water and spirit. Water that cleanses and redeems, spirit that transforms, all creating a new nature, a new creation, in essence, a rebirth. A rebirth not accomplished by man through obedience to the law, but from above through faith in the Messiah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, the main point of today's message is very simple. And no, it's not that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That's probably the most famous piece of this scripture, but it's not the central point of Jesus' teaching today. The main point is that we must be born again from above, meaning it's nothing that we do, but it's something that God does to us through water and the Spirit. And although we have attached baptism to this, the water here isn't necessary. We're not really talking about the process of baptism. Water is a symbol. And what does it do? It cleanses. It washes. It cleans. It purifies. But simple water can't wash away our sin. It can't purify us. And neither can our baptism. Only Jesus' sacrifice on the cross can cleanse us and redeem us. Baptism is but this public, outward, symbolic expression of our faith in Christ Jesus and his sacrifice. And water is the symbolic meaning of this mysterious cleansing that takes place inside of us. So to be reborn of water is to be purified and redeemed by faith in Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And at the moment you truly accept your Christ's sacrifice and are redeemed, His Holy Spirit enters you, lives in you, and seals you as one of God's own. And when this happens, we are changed. We are transformed. We are made new, reborn as a new creation in Christ. It's not something, we don't physically look different, but inside we are changed. And it's only through this rebirth, through faith in Christ's sacrifice, which cleanses us, water, and rebirth through the transformation, the Spirit, that we gain eternal life. And this is all made possible because the Son of Man, Jesus, allowed Himself to be raised up on a pole, just as Moses raised the snake in the desert. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 to 9, Israel turned from God. They wanted to go back. They were complaining against Moses, complaining against God. God had been feeding them with manna, and they said, "We even hate this detestable food that God had blessed them with." And God punished them. He set a plague of poisonous snakes upon them. And the only way they could be saved was by looking at an image of a bronze snake that God commanded Moses to make and put up on a pole. Now the serpent, the snake, was something that the Israelites feared. They hated it. They found it grotesque. They found serpents disgusting. And God said, "Okay, you want to worship something else? You want to go against me? Fine. But if you want to survive, if you want to live, then you must look upon that which you find grotesque and offensive, the snake." Hundreds of years later, God would do the same with the rest of the world. Crucifixion was a grotesque. It was disgusting and so offensive that many people wouldn't even say the word. Some people couldn't say it without retching. And like the snake, God allowed His only Son to be lifted high on a wooden pole. And if we are to be saved from death, we must look upon this offensive and grotesque image and put our hope and faith in the Christ. And when we truly do, we are saved. But we are more than saved. We are changed, transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We become new people, for we see the world and we see the people around us through different eyes. It's as if we are somehow new, reborn. And we want to do the things that Jesus tells us to do, not because the law tells us we must, but because out of a desire and love for Christ, we want to be obedient. And why did God make this rebirth possible? Now say it with me, you all know it. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that anyone who believes in Him would not perish, but may have eternal life." That whoever believes in Him would not perish, but shall be reborn again into eternal life. Did Nicodemus walk home that night a changed, reborn, saved man? We aren't told. And the answer is probably not, at least not on that night. But the next time we see Nicodemus is in chapter 7, when the Pharisees became angry at what Jesus was teaching, and they plot a way to have Him arrested. And it was Nicodemus who came to Jesus' defense, saying, "Does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he's doing?" And the last time we see Nicodemus, he is with Joseph of Arimathea. After Jesus' death, Nicodemus helped Joseph remove Jesus' body from the cross. He helped Joseph of Arimathea carry Jesus' body to the tomb, and he helped prepare Jesus' body for burial. No more is Nicodemus hiding his association with Jesus in the dark. He is fully in the light. And after the resurrection, he was changed. He had looked upon the Son of Man raised high on a pole. He had accepted His sacrifice, put his faith in Him, and was washed clean and redeemed of his sins, and the Holy Spirit transformed him. Finally, Nicodemus understood what it was to be born again, not by following the law, but by from above through faith in Jesus Christ. And my friends, we too can be born again, not through any efforts of our own. There is no amount of good that we can do in order to enter the kingdom. There's no amount of money we can give to enter the kingdom. There's no amount of church positions we can fill to enter the kingdom. And there's no amount of hymns to be sung to enter the kingdom. The only way to the kingdom is to be born of water, cleansed, and the Spirit transformed, which happens through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to talk to me more about this, if you've never come through water and the Spirit, then I would love to have a conversation with you. Just give me a call. My friends, choose this day whom you will serve. Amen.